Good morning, everybody. This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are happy to have you guys on board. For Ava, you're here.
I am here.
And me, it's Eric. And Don,
Don's
not here. He gone. He is not here. But we got some awesome stuff coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the NWT and MWC tournaments going on. We're going to talk about the Steelhead, what's going on with Steelhead, and a really cool hiking incentive program offered by the Minnesota DNR. Stay tuned. More and that coming up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good morning, Ava.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing. Some of those mornings you wake up, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, that daylight saving, it still seems to be
lingering.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to get rid of it. Just pick a time. Stick with it.
Right.
End of story. It's pretty simple.
It'll all even out eventually.
Well, yeah, it does.
It does.
It's a strange thing. But things that are not going to be evening out with all the snow is going to be the water level. That's going to be going up river-wise, lake-wise.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I will say that. I think it's a good thing. We need the water. It needs to, it helps with the spawning fish. It kind of is a flush, shall we say? So that's kind of nice. But it is in need. Every place, everywhere, at least in the upper, in the Midwest, is needing water. The lakes were down and pretty much anticipated that we're going to have some high water this spring. And let's hope it all doesn't happen at once.
Yeah, that seems to be an issue here along the Mississippi.
Yep.
Something that we look at every year can always be an issue in Red Wing, especially.
Yeah, and we're seeing heavy snows across all areas.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain-wise, you're looking at it. And, of course, if you're looking at Owyhee, that's obviously gets a lot of water from the mountain areas. And so there's going to be a ton of water coming into that area from that concept. But what's nice is we're seeing a lot of people down here in Red Wing area, they are fishing, and it's gangbusters. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, it never stops, actually.
No. It goes year-round, but now when it's at least somewhat comfortable to go fishing, it turns on the floodgates because the ice is not good. It's getting to that point right now. You've got to be very careful. So that's a problem, but they're out in droves, and I will say I get tons of questions. It's like, well, what should I be using? It's the same thing you've been using before if you fish the river. If you haven't fished the river before, there's usually 3 to 4 things you can get your stuff rigged, get your lines, rods, and reels rigged up for it. Usually it's going to be a zip or basically a blade bait type scenario. Have that. Myself, I prefer a vertical jig, so I have a plastic jig and plastic. Get some minnows. I know everybody's like, you don't need them. I know you don't need them. But when you have that with you, you're going to be able to do some three-way rigging. You're going to have that as well. Maybe some crawlers if you can find some crawlers. Obviously, it gets a little more difficult, but they have crawlers that are available, worms, whatever. Dubuque rigs. Now, a Dubuque rig, that's kind of a short dropper with a heavy jig on it. And then you also have a off of a three-way that goes towards the back, you have just a plain old hook, and you can put a like a ringworm or a twister tail on it, and that hangs back about 28 inches. So you're running 2 baits on the one line. Now, that's border water only. You can run 2 baits on one rod. And again, that's a river tactic, but it works great. Just move slowly up and down the break line. And hand lining, obviously, is another fan favorite. I love hand lining. It's kind of cool. But the other thing you can do too is there's a crankbait jig combo, and You put a crankbait off the dropper the same as you would a jig on a Dubuque rig, and then you're going to do the same plastic. So you're just basically changing the heavy jig for a crankbait. And believe it or not, you throw it out behind the boat, it pulls the bait down, and you're going to run a jig off the back, probably about 3/8 ounce jig, maybe 1/2 ounce jig off the back, and you pull them along, and you'll have fish that'll hit. You'll catch them on both. Crankbait, usually I'm using number 5, jointed shad wrap, or number 7, jointed shad wrap. Those both are real effective. But it's so fun. You can reel it in quick, throw it out, and it's a fast retrieving action. Usually works for about 15 feet of water. But yeah, those techniques right this time of year are absolutely killer, and people are catching them right now in that same scenario. So keep in mind, a lot of fun stuff going on in the river.
You know, I've seen lots of trout fishing right now. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a pretty popular, like going in between the two seasons.
Yep.
Do you have any tips on that?
Trout fishing is a different scenario. If you're a fly fisherman,
mm-hmm.
definitely you're going to be matching the hatch. Most of the people are going to find out. Any of your fly shops are going to be able to give you an idea of what's going on in the whitewater or that area. The big thing is, if you're looking at spinning rigs, you're going to look at the small MEPS stuff. I prefer a small all black MEPS. That works. Obviously, if you're looking at the fly side of it, a woolly bugger, it's always a fan favorite because it can be a little difficult sometimes if you don't have a lot of room to cast. So the small MEPS works pretty good for those that aren't experienced. That's pretty standard. And don't get frustrated because there's so much stuff, but the trees and whatever, just pick and poke your way along the river and find some key spots. I think the other thing that's nice too is you don't have bugs this time of year.
And right. That can be and you can dress for the weather, you know, like to keep yourself dry and warm.
And you're walking along, you're not standing on the ice. And I'm just not a fan of standing on the ice. So.
God, and rainbow trout are just so pretty too.
Oh, they are. No question about it. They are. Saw a couple big fish caught out of the river last week too. I mean, I'm talking over 9, almost 10 pounders. Pretty solid fish. But yeah, the river's definitely they're catching fish, and it's only going to get better. If you're not familiar with what happened on the river about 3 years ago, they changed regulations. You only can catch one over 20 per person. Everything else has to be under 20. And
good reminder.
It is definitely going to be a help when it comes to the size of fish coming in down the road, and the population of fish too. It's really going to be, this is going to be one big trophy fishery very soon. So it's going to be pretty cool.
You know, I saw a video of a girl that was participating in a fly making contest. And she made hers huge. It was just this big, massive thing.
So you could see it.
Lots of ribbon. And everybody had to stop and come and look at it because it was just massive. And she's like, y'all are taking this too seriously. And yeah, it was pretty good. I don't think she won.
So she wasn't from around here?
No. And I don't think that she does any type of fly fishing. But she was just having fun.
The y'all kind of gave it away. Well, speaking of giving it away, the music means we got to go. We'll be right back. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Hey guys, make sure you check us out on all the cool stuff we've got on thevalleyoutdoors.com and of course Facebook. We're going to be putting a bunch of stuff up there soon, and a lot of fun things to check out, and a couple stories are going to be coming up shortly here. One is on the DNR program I kind of teased at the beginning, Ava. It's kind of a cool thing, and we'll talk a little bit about that. That will be on our website and how to get there as well, so kind of cool stuff. Spring is known for tournament fishing, as has been in the past. I'm a little involved with what I get going in my job right now, so I'm going to be fishing later in the season with some tournaments, but still waiting on a boat.
That was the question.
Yeah,
I was just
waiting on my boat. Yep.
When are you
It's going to be later. Not sure which ones. I've got a couple Governor's Cups, North Dakota, South Dakota Governor Cups. I think I'm going to be fishing with a friend of mine, so have a little fun, and the job is significant. we're keeps me extremely busy at the moment. So,
yeah.
That's kind of cool. So, but the tournament fishing side of it, the two big tournaments have kicked off this last week, the MWC, that always kicks off down in Spring Valley. I remember when I first started fishing, that was the event to kick off everything. And usually had about almost 250 people that would go to that event. It's since dropped as far as participation. I think a lot of factors have changed with the MWC. Unfortunately, some of the management decisions have been difficult. Yeah. And they've had some high water conditions and judgments made there, so there becomes a little bit of a confidence issue in decisions as far as that goes. So people kind of go, you know what, forget it. It's going to flood. There were actual tournaments, MWC tournaments that were held down there that they had so much flooding that they had LP tanks floating. They had farm animals.
No.
They had, it was something else. And when that floods, it's not pretty. So, and it can come up pretty quick too. And it did. They had their stage set up and they actually had to pull up the stage and move it. And the bite was so bad. There was four fish caught.
Oh no, that's not okay.
And instead of paying down all the places, they split it up between those four people, I shouldn't say four people. I think it was three people caught four fish.
Well, what do you do? I mean,
they should have, in that point, see, that's part of the problem. They should have canceled the tournament.
Oh.
At that point, because it literally was dangerous to even drive the river. And there was a little up in arms going on about that when they took the whole payout and structured it that way. So,
God, don't you just love drama?
It's tournament so side, it's just, I'm telling you, it just doesn't stop.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, but everybody has a better idea of how things should be done, though.
Well, and I will say this. There's been some good decisions in the past when the NWT, National Walleye Tour, was run by a different company. Now it's run by the MWC. Robert Cartledge heads that up. I don't remember the name of the company he has, but they've since transferred hands from where it used to be. And they've made some good decisions with the NWT prior to that. I haven't seen decisions now, but when they're able to actually go on a Green Bay before a tournament and check out the waves, and when the wave height increases by a foot in a matter of a 30-minute drive out, and they can see frequencies that have changed as well, and they decide to call the tournament till the next day, that's a wise decision because somebody's going to get hurt and they're going to have to go rescue
them. Yeah, now you're liable too. And
yep, exactly. Great. Exactly. So yeah, the Illinois River, the funny part about it was they were waking up, and this is when I was happy not to be fishing. When it's 7 degrees in the morning, nothing works. Your boat's frozen to your trailer. Now, if you boaters out there, if you've ever boated when it's cold, and I mean cold, not just 35 degrees. I'm talking cold, cold.
Right.
You get done at night. You put your boat on the trailer. You park it. It freezes. It will freeze to the trailer. It will create a bond between the trailer bunk and the hull. So you go to slide your boat off the trailer, and it doesn't slide off. So what we would do, and this happens quite a bit, what you end up doing is you end up unlatching the back, the tubes, tie-down straps, and then you try to drive over curbs.
Try and shake it loose?
Trying to break it free.
Oh, man.
And you don't do the curb fast, but still, you know, you don't want to break anything, but you got to do something to bounce it off.
With letting it sit in the water for a little bit?
You can't, because you get 150 waiting. Guys waiting to put their boats in. As soon as you see it's not floating off.
Well, let's say you're not in a tournament type situation and you're just out. Like, what?
Doesn't, the trailer floats with the boat. Oh. It's attached.
All right.
Which is the unfortunate part. And then the problem is if you get one side that comes off, it really is a problem because the other side hangs on or sticks to the boat. I mean, it's not a good thing. It's brutal. So that's one of those moments in life where you're not comfortable. But 7 degrees, there's nothing you can do realistically, except this year was kind of cool. Had a number of guys that attached buddy heaters in the boat, so you actually could withstand the temperature that was, you know, you could warm up your hands. And that's usually the biggest thing. You've got problems with your hands. You can't get that taken care of. So, when you're fishing, especially the techniques you need to fish there, jigging, it's not necessarily conducive to wearing gloves, which is a difficult part. But hats off to those guys, man. I've fished in those conditions for many, many, many years. And this was an extreme year. The cold was absolutely off the rails. And last week started warming up, so those guys had a much better time. We're going to get one of the guys from the tournament on next week, the winner. And I'm not going to say who it was unless you've looked. I don't want to spoil anybody's surprises, but we're going to have some other guys that were on from those two events, so that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, that event and all the tournaments have kicked off, and the Bassmaster Classic is going on right now, so a ton of different good stuff happening in the tournament side of things. Wanted to bring up a neat thing that was my girlfriend was actually, thanks Amy, she was out hanging out doing nothing the other day, and I said, hey, find me a story.
And do guess, my work for me.
Yeah, why not? You don't work harder, work smarter, right? So she happened to come across this cool thing, and I didn't have any idea that it was there. And I was talking to a couple of buddies yesterday, and they're like, that's awesome. So this is what it is. It's from the Minnesota DNR. It's called a Hiking and Passport Club. They will help you discover new destinations to spend time in the outdoors in Minnesota while earning rewards. Now, this is a Minnesota DNR thing. If you like it, hey, maybe pass it on to your DNR, whatever state you're in. The Hiking Club will take you to 68 trails at state parks and recreation areas throughout Minnesota. You go through waterfalls, woods, prairies, discover wildflowers, even wildlife. Buy your hiking book club to get started. You purchase one for $14.95 at any state park nature store or online. Currently only shipping to Minnesota addresses. A flat shipping fee of $5.99 applies to purchases under $150. Choose your hike. The Hiking Club book includes detailed descriptions of the hikes at each park. Designated trails are marked with signs at the trailhead and along the way, so it keeps you on track. Number two, find the password.
Ooh.
Each Hiking Club trail has a unique password that you will find on a sign about halfway through your hike. Update the log. Write the password in your hiking club book along with the park name and distance that you hiked. Get your rewards. Present your log at any state park office to get patches and certificates for free nights of camping.
Dude.
Is that not cool?
Yeah.
Now, there's a passport club. The passport club, your goal will be to visit each one of Minnesota state parks and recreation areas from A to Z. Afton State Park to Zippel Bay State Park. You get to see amazing scenery, discover something wonderful and new. Buy your passport book club or club book to get started. Same price, $14.95, flat shipping fee. And this one, choose a destination, comes with a map and a list of all state parks. Decide where you want to get started. Ask to have your passport stamped at the park office or use a stamp at the entry station or kiosk. Use your travel log. The kit includes travel log for you to remember and the trip and jot down favorite discoveries, scenic views, waterfalls, etc. Get your rewards, receive a pin and a certificate for a free night of camping when you get 25 stamps. When you've collected the stamps for all Minnesota State parks and recreation areas, you get another certificate for a free night of camping.
How many are there?
A lot.
I was kidding.
I figured you're going to ask, and I'm like, she's not going to ask. I'll skip it.
Too many.
But it's a great, that is such a cool thing. I had no idea that that was there.
Well, hey, great incentive to get people outside.
And it's a good way to get kids started and having something to look forward to throughout the summer and that kind of thing.
So, great goal.
Yeah.
Do you have to get it done in a year or is it something that you can like?
I think you can work on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I need time to walk.
Do it in a year.
I need 4 years to get across the state parks.
Well, probably.
Well, there is that. Hey, tell you what, we're going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, I've got to tell you, Ayla, amazing how fast time goes.
We really get the show done quicker
with Don not
when
here.
Don is not here.
He just holds up the works.
He does.
He's like the ploddingly difficult road to travel when it's spring and you get stuck in the road.
Well, okay, so typically it takes us an hour to do this show.
Yeah.
It's been a half hour.
Yeah. See? Lightning.
Oh, poor Don. We miss you, Don.
Oh, poor Don. We do. We're just giving him crap.
Yeah.
Because we can. I got to tell you, the story that I had seen the story on the news, and I think it was on internet that I saw it. And again, my thoughts go out to the family of this group. I'm not at a loss for words very often, but this has just stunned me, as I told you when you're off air.
Right.
Bodies of missing Florida boaters recovered at lake after anchor mishap. Lake Eloise in Winter Haven, Florida. The bodies of two Florida men have been recovered in Lake Eloise after a mishap with the rented boat's anchor while on the lake's choppy water over this last weekend. The two gentlemen were found 150 yards apart on the bottom of the lake nearly 2 days after disappearing. The men jumped into the water near the Legoland theme park to rescue one of the gentlemen's girlfriends. They were 32, age 32, 34, and the girlfriend was 38, who had gone in the water to set the anchor.
Well, no, I'm just wondering why they let her do that, first and foremost.
The one of the spokespersons for the area said that the group that took the boat out, these people, were novices, and they passed a basic test to rent the boat. So it was a rental boat, a very inexperienced woman, and, of course, apparently everybody else was too. So she thought that you had to get into the water
to set the anchor.
To put the anchor in and then tie it to the boat. Mm. Now, a lot of you probably are sitting there thinking, what? So, yeah. She jumped in the water with the anchor and the boat began to float away. Both men jumped in to save her. The wind was blowing pretty much at 20 miles an hour. The boat's drifting away. The men were not strong swimmers and wound up going underwater and passed. Using sonar equipment and an underwater drone, they found the bodies 300 to 400 yards offshore, about 16 feet deep of water. While the men are presumed to have drowned, the medical examiner will conduct autopsies. They rented a 16-foot ski boat to celebrate their one-year anniversary, and his two daughters, ages 10 and 8, the sheriff's office said. The 10-year-old girl called 911 when the adults were in the water. Children were both wearing life jackets, and other life jackets were found in the boat. The only question is, why wasn't the anchor rope tied to the boat? They had to ask. Makes absolutely no sense. I couldn't make that story up if I tried. I can you explain that?
No, the only thing I can think of is, like, was there some beverages involved in this?
Well, there is that.
You know what I mean?
Well, but you know what the sad part is? And no offense to anybody, but sometimes you can't fix the stupid part.
So did the woman make it out? She must have.
She lived. Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Jumping onto a positive story.
Okay, let's...
Minnesota. Yeah. Steelhead population progresses in Minnesota. And this is the cool part. Now, if you're familiar with steelhead, there have been a lot of stocking that's been done with Kamloops. It's a different strain of steelhead. The past 4 or 5 years, they switched from stocking Kamloops strain to wild steelhead. And Corey Goldsworthy of the Lake Superior DNR said the production from which has helped the population grow and natural reproduction is happening at a higher rate compared to that of Kamloops, which was the reason that they were trying to have Kamloops stock. And they reintroduced it. And the graph is definitely showing a departure with or from Kamloops, and the natural steelhead are going to a point now that rival even back in 03 at their high point. Pretty crazy. So the stockings of steelhead started in the 1800s and pretty significant numbers. And the results, needless to say, have been fantastic. So a really nice feel-good story and
good, because we needed it after that.
Yeah, and an impressive scenario for
the
state.
We can't end the show with a sad story.
No, that was a good story. It was very happy. That's a happy story. It makes me happy because steelhead on the North Shore, there is nothing more fun than that, and been doing that for many, many years. So go out and have some fun. Enjoy the outdoors. Thank you guys for Ava, myself, and Don, wherever he might be.
I think he'll be back next week.
I'm pretty sure he will be. He can't go far. We've got him tied with a string. The string is still spooling right now. Have a great weekend, you guys. See ya.